The sports writers from the Salem News. Team coverage, topics, and sports names in the news on msonewsports.com and salemnews.com. And welcome. I'm Bill Newell, joined by Phil Stacey, executive sports editor of the Salem News, Matt Williams, assistant sports editor, Nick Giannino here with us. And men, we've got to begin, I guess, with this past weekend Super Bowl won by Kansas City. You know, I was watching the game, and I'm thinking, I don't know who I want to win. But once it started, I said, I want Kansas City to win. I like Mahomes. Comes back. I thought they were done for, as everyone did, you know, late in the game. But, gosh, he's an exciting player. And, I have nothing against Garofalo, but, I was kind of hoping for Kansas City to win.
Yeah, I was the opposite. I was rooting for the 49ers. I like Mahomes, too. I mean, he's a dynamic player, but Chiefs are kind of hard to root for, I think, personally. You know, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. I mean, hey, good for Andy Reid. Guy's obviously an NFL coaching lifer. I guess you can call him a legend now. He's certainly we've talked about this in the past, Willie, and you were always saying, like, oh, he's a great coach. I'm like, he doesn't win the big one. Well, he won three big ones this year, so give him his due there. Last few years, anyway, I've been working Super Bowl Sunday so these guys can have the night off and do their thing. So I had it on, and I watched, like, the first series of each team, and then I watched the fourth quarter, but I was kind of, like, working the rest of the time. But, hey, good on Kansas City. They came back and won, and, good for them. I had some anti-Chiefs tweets ready to go, too, so I didn't get to use those. I was kind of bummed about that, but, what are you going to do?
Not too pumped up, though, I guess.
Yeah, I thought it was a good game. Very entertaining, fun to watch. I wasn't really sure going in, you know, without the Pats being in it. I don't always stay tuned in for the entire Super Bowl, but this one, kept me interested. And they were down 10, going into the fourth or early fourth, and I said, you know, they're not out of it. Like, this team can put points on in a hurry. They did it in the other two playoff games, and, yeah, we saw them do it again. So I wasn't completely surprised, but it was definitely fun to watch, and Mahomes, as they say, is definitely the real deal. So it was a fun game. I liked it. And great halftime performance. What'd you guys think of J-Lo and Shakira?
I didn't.
No? Didn't get a chance?
Willie?
That's what I hate my dad. I believe they say Roll Tide. No, I mean, I think, you know, for me, it's funny. Like, I was thinking about this afternoon because everybody's, you know, going in on Garoppolo and Shanahan and making fun of them and, oh, they're losers and they can't win and all this nonsense. And I started thinking to myself, geez, like, you know, my brain just doesn't work this way. Maybe I've spent too much time around high school sports, right? Because, like, we try not to rip the high school athletes when mistakes are made or whatever. But I just, like, I watch the game to enjoy things. I watch the game to see the good plays. I would rather talk about the great plays that Mahomes made. That throw to Sammy Watkins there, one of those touchdowns that set up the touchdown by Williams, I think it was. You know, shout out to me, Williams, no relation. But, what a throw. That was a Brady-esque throw. I choose to give the credit to Mahomes and Reed and not, you know, poop all over poor Garoppolo and Shanahan. I mean, hey, it's football. There's going to be a winner and a loser. You know, 10 points. I mean, yeah, okay, the Falcons collapsed 25 points. That's like a big deal. Shanahan and Quinn got all in that one. But, I mean, a 10-point lead in the NFL in 2020? That's not really a big deal. Like, we don't need to call these guys choke artists. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are, like, so far in love with Tom Brady that, like, they relish that Jimmy lost because that, like, validates Brady somehow. And I feel like people that feel that way, their brains are broken. Their brains are broken. If you're watching these games so that you can, like, own someone on Twitter and, like, bleh at, like, some guy, I'm wired the opposite way. I watch it to enjoy, to praise the good plays and not, you know, poop on the bad ones. And, hey, like I said, maybe that's because I spent too much time around high school sports where that's really all we do. But that just struck me this morning, everybody just going in on, you know, poor Garoppolo and Shanahan and some of these other guys. And it's like, hey, yeah, look on the bright side. I mean, just give the credit to Mahomes, just like we do with Brady and all these other guys, you know. And I don't know if you guys knew this, but before yesterday, the only quarterback that ever came back from 10 points down in the fourth quarter of a Super Bowl was one Tom Brady. So now it's Brady and Mahomes. And based on the Hulu commercial, I think everything ends up being about Tom Brady in one way or another.
I'm just glad that all four of us, none of us have a stain on our shirt either, you know, as of tonight. And the how about those fourth down conversions, too, by Kansas City? Those, not bad.
I heard from a buddy of mine who went to Harvard, Beanpot tonight, Monday night. And he texted me right after the, was it the Jerkovich touchdown? And said, first Super Bowl touchdown ever by a Harvard guy. And I'm thinking to myself, when was the last time a fullback had a touchdown? But, yeah, I couldn't believe that was the first time a Harvard guy ever had a touchdown in the Super Bowl. That is kind of crazy, you know? Yeah. Not like there's a plethora of guys from Harvard in the NFL in the skill positions, but still you'd think there would have been one in there.
I can't believe they didn't mention that on the broadcast. What an epic fail by Buck and Aikman. You know, Phil's buddy here has the fun facts, and these guys, they have an army of producers that can't feed them that fun fact to say on TV. I mean, woof.
Favorite commentator during the Super Bowl? How about I'm a little tired of Terry Bradshaw. I got to tell you. I mean,
he's, you know, he should have retired around the time he was making movies with McConaughey and Kathy Bates. You know, favorite. I mean, I like Aikman. I think he does bring a lot. I agree with what Willie's saying here. I mean, that's a fact that should have been given to them. I think he's really insightful without a I played the game kind of you know, aura about him. He just breaks it down nice and simple. I like that he gives you plays quickly, especially like defensive formations when plays happen. Well, you know, they were in a 2-deep cover zone here because you're not seeing that as the play unfolds. But he's giving it to you, and you kind of get a little more of an understanding about why someone was open or why a play broke down, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I like Aikman. You know, maybe it's the hoop guy in me, but I was driving home late second quarter, you know, switching it up, watched the rest of the game at my house, and just threw it on the radio as we're driving home, quick drive, and Kevin Harlan's on there doing that. He's pretty great. Just kind of makes it seem like every play is so big, and you can tell he's really into it. So I like Harlan. I think he was doing it with Kurt Warner. Was he doing it? He does it with Kurt Warner, right?
Yeah.
Who's also, you know, pretty good. Love to hate him when he played, but pretty good announcer.
How about the meme of the weekend? I thought, you know, they had those pictures of all the NFL 100 guys and the four or five Patriots there in their red jackets and Market Basket said they should be working at Market Basket. And they look just like that. I thought that was pretty good. I don't know who came up with that first. I don't know where the credit is due, but I laughed at that one. That was pretty good.
Instead of more for your dollar, more for your millions.
Yeah, that could work. That could work.
All right, we're going to break away from our usual format, and let's begin with some of the other sports that we don't talk about too much. Nick, you were just at some wrestling this weekend. I know what Beverly Wrestling did very well this weekend, some other wrestling teams. But let's focus a little bit on wrestling, and what can you report to us?
Yeah, it was a fun day. First time for Gloucester, Gloucester High School, hosting the NEC Cal meet. For wrestling, 12 teams there. Beverly came out on top, and it was their first time ever winning the title. So I think they had two winners, a bunch of third-place finishers, a bunch of second-place guys. So a lot of their guys were making the podium. It seems like they got a deep team. I was talking to head coach Paul Casey after, and you know, he said going in they figured maybe they'd get half their guys into the finals. They ended up getting 9 guys, I believe, into the finals, or 9 into the semis, 7 into the finals, something like that. So very strong showing across the board for them. Then you obviously had Danvers. You know, they were a little bit further down. I think they finished 5th place out of 12, but Max Leet continued to dominate. We knew that going in, and, you know, he's obviously one of the top wrestlers in the area, so it was fun to watch him. He took home the NEC Wrestler of the Year as well after. He had some day.
It looked like that meet, and you highlighted it, between, was it Ian Darling of Masco and Calvin Dalton of Salem was really good.
Yeah, that was a cool one. I had the chance to talk to Calvin after of Salem. He came into the year, he said, off an injury and started kind of slow. He lost to a kid that he had beaten many times before to start off the season, and he's thinking, oh, geez, you know, I got to get back to where I was at. And, you know, close to the end of the season now, he comes out on top over a very good wrestler from Masco there, Ian Darling, who I believe was the top seed. Yeah. And, yeah, that was a fun one. So, but they're two good buddies. They trained together in the off season, and he said he had never wrestled him in competition before, but it looks like they, you know, they might get another chance to do so here coming up in sectionals and states. So that was a fun one. Marblehead Swampskit They finished second. The black and blue, as we call them, right, Willie? Right. They had a lot of good performances. It was fun watching the heavyweights there. Who's your guy, Phil McCokey?
Oh, the Peabody guy.
Oh, that was Peabody. Yeah, that was Peabody. What am I saying?
Marblehead's got a good heavyweight too. I think Rowe is his name. I don't know if he made the final or not. I mean, I know Phil kind of breezed through the. Well, no, Rowe might be 285. Phil's 220, I think. So they might not have been.
Yeah, they have Eden Pie Dad for Beverly.
Dad. That's the kid. Yeah, Pie Dad. I guess we got to throw in some Beverly names, right? They did win the whole freaking thing, so. Anyway, it's a great event, kind of a good gauge for a lot of these teams to see where they're at heading into sectionals, and it seems like we got a lot of good talent in the area for wrestling, so it's fun to get out and do something different than the hoop this weekend.
Guys, what else? Swimming or gymnastics? Did you guys mention that piece?
I know, you know, Gene DiPlacido, our MVP, Gene DiPlacido, did the NEC gymnastics meet, and I guess that's more of like a showcase than an actual like scoring event. I mean, I know some teams, you mentioned like Beverly sat Keegan Richardson, who's one of their top gymnasts, and Masco sat some of their better talent. But just a chance to showcase, you know, what some of the top gymnasts in the area can do. And, of course, Masconama did very well. They're the defending state champs. They're undefeated. They should do very, very well at sectionals and be ready to defend their state championship led by their reigning MVP, and I believe our two-time Sale News gymnast of the year, Gracie Mowers. She's only a junior, but she's probably on the fast track to get it again, I would think. MVP of the Cape Ann Northeastern Conference. But all the schools were represented there. Everyone did pretty well. Peabody got a nice team sportsmanship award. So it was a good time, end of the regular season, so to speak, as they start to gear up for individuals and then North Sectionals coming up. In fact, where we'd have Masconomet, obviously, Beverly would be taking part in that. I want to say Danvers, but I'm not 100% positive on that. Willie, you had an eye on the Northeastern Conference track, and a lot of the familiar teams and names that we're used to seeing were in there again.
Yeah, interesting. You know, I think the girls wound up being a three-point meet, which is really – you know, interesting. There's only so many names you can fit in the paper, but I mean, 3 points, right? So you get, I think if I'm not mistaken, the point standings, you're going to get 10 points if you win an event, right? 8 for finishing second, 6 for finishing third, and on and on and on. And so, you know, you flip a, you know, you win. Beverly girls had 121 points, PBD girls had 118. So, I mean, if you flip a third to a fourth or a fourth to a fifth in any one of these events, and the whole thing can be very different. So all those extra points ended up mattering, which was interesting. Those meets, Phil mentioned with the gymnastics, I mean, they do move kids around to try to stretch them out and get ready for states and everything. So it's not always, you know, everybody's going crazy to get the most possible points. But, a couple of wins. India Injimi, we've talked about before. She won a couple of gold medals. Annie Towler, her teammate, took home a double gold. Best finish of the day was probably the boys' dash. So Jaychon Jones, I believe, was the indoor champion in Division II last year. And, Freddie Kofi from Peabody edged him out with a school record 6:47. And that's a pretty fast, 55 meters there because they had to meet at the Reggie Lewis Center. So that's meters, that's not yards. So that's a fast deal. And, I mean, just like Nick mentioned, the different guys in different divisions in wrestling, you know, these guys are both going to go to Division I and Division II for the state meets. So, I mean, they could each be, state champions of their respective divisions and see each other again at all states. That's really good for the NEC to see two sprinters like that. There was a similar finish in the hurdles between PBD's Joel Azoma and Andrew Morin from Beverly. So, two more guys that could go to their respective state meets and do really well. So it's really good to see that for the NEC. I mean, the same thing in the girls 300 with India Injimi. I mean, there are girls that finish behind her that could win their respective state championships. So really, a lot of fast things, a lot of fast relays. And, you got to take your hats off to Peabody. They won 5 of the 6 relays between the boys and the girls. So that's just showing off your depth. That's really impressive. And, as we go into the state meets, I mean, these are teams that could have some fun and have some good stuff. You know, Swampscott took 1 and 2 in the shot put. Marblehead had a couple of gold medals. So really good showings from just about everybody in the league. And, geez, the girls was such a two-horse race. I mean, you got to take your hat off to Lynn Classical. Ended up in third place overall with 32 points. That's got to be the best team finish for any Lynn track team in many, many, many years. You know, but hey, the Rams, third place in the girls' standings.
Well, you know, going back to the gymnastics, Phil, I know you sent Gene DiPlacido there, but I know Nick is always sharing stories about his balance beam routines that he did when in his younger days and how he's done on the uneven parallel bars. I'm just thinking next year this guy might be the guy to send to that tournament.
I think he's still scarred by that great pommel horse incident of 2013. I don't think we can get him back there, but well, we'll try. Yeah. But you know, it's left a lasting impression on him.
Yeah. On the. Oh man, yeah. You do feel out of place. I did a feature on gymnastics once. You do tend to feel a little out of place. We'll pick up now on the other sports, the hockey and basketball. And so my little story from the past week or so, I caught the Beverly Lynn Classical boys basketball game at Classical, and I'm thinking this will be a very good game. And a surprising result in the fact that Beverly just turned it on. I mean, they got a great performance. You talk about we knew about Duncan Moreland and Jack Crowley, the two towers, but Austin Ayer, who is taller than the two of them, not combined though, but taller than the two of them, an inch taller than Jack, I think, or Duncan, but 1 or 2 inches. But the junior, he had a breakout game. And, man, that was the trio of towers, if you will, for Beverly in that game. But they played a great game. They poured it on. And I think both coaches were kind of surprised at the end result of that contest. So you have that one. Now, on the same night, Nick, that's Hamilton.
On Austin, I was talking to Matt Karakoudis, the head coach there at Beverly, a couple weeks back. And he said he's really coming along, Austin is. He was on the JV team last year and led them in points, rebounds and blocks, I believe. So, you know, he's getting some big minutes now, and it seems to be paying off for Beverly.
Can I ask you, either of you something? I mean, and I ask because I don't know.
Is it gymnastics?
No. Boys basketball question based off of what we're saying here. No iron horse questions right now. Iron cross? Iron horse? I don't know. We talk a lot about Duncan Moreland and his scoring and his dunking ability and how dynamic he is. Is there a Lynn English player that is at the top of their pyramid as a team that would challenge him as an MVP, or is he a pretty clear front runner, would you say, right now for that conference?
For the NEC?
Yeah.
I don't know, Bill. Have you seen English play? I mean, they're so balanced that I don't know if anyone really sticks out stat-wise that would get – MVP. What's the big guy's name there? I can't pronounce it.
They have two big guys, but Adamide Badmus is I think he's better this year than he was last year in the one game that I saw against Tech Boston. They have another big guy, and I'm blanking on his name because I don't have it, but he's the real deal. And then Jarnell Guzman has put up some monster games, 30-point games and so on. He's a former prep guard, and I would say all three of those guys would be NEC MVP material, to be honest with you. No disrespect to what's going on in Beverly, but those three, definitely three players. And then another guy,
but they split the vote, so that leads Duncan to get in there a little bit, you know. Let's say four coaches think Duncan's the best player, and six other coaches think that English, but each of them pick someone different. I mean, that could be the case too.
Well, I mean, what is this, the Iowa caucuses here, Phil? I mean, come on. I know it is. I know. But you know,
Willie and I are numbers crunches. We think about this stuff. Yeah?
I don't know about that, but I do. I do think that all three of those English players. Another kid that I loved last year was Jack Rodriguez, and now he is. He's kind of under the shadow of these guys, but he was so critical for the Bulldogs in winning that state tournament, because the things that he was doing in games, he wasn't the highest stat guy, you know, but man, he was huge, you know. It's kind of
this is where we need Dickie Newton to do like a Heisman campaign, like get the word out to the voters, You know, here, vote so-and-so, vote this guy, vote that guy, you know.
But, you know, that it is a good question, though, because, I don't know how I would answer that. If it were me, I'm thinking that I would pick somebody from Lynn English, though. I mean, I would think that would be a natural thing.
Basically just going off the box scores. I don't go to the basketball games. And I know what – I know Duncan personally. I know what kind of athlete he is. I know what he's capable of. But you see these scores from English, and obviously they're a tremendous team. So I'm wondering, is there one – cog? It really sounds like no, it's a combination of four or five tremendous players and then great depth around them.
Yeah. I'll let just take it a slightly different way before I give it to Nick. Is that, having said that, though, a Duncan Moreland, a Jack Rowley would be great additions to the English team. I mean, I think they would find a spot for them on that team.
Yeah, and the two teams, Beverly and English, play each other coming up here soon. I think it's the 12th, so we'll see how Duncan does in that game. We'll see how Beverly fares overall against English. I think
English would have to be a more than usual favorite, sure, I would think. Yeah.
Absolutely. They haven't lost any game in the NEC, and I think...
In the state. This side of Mississippi.
But I think, you know... All their NEC wins, all their wins have been by 20 or more. Most of them have been by 30 or more. So we'll see how Beverly stacks up.
Phil mentioned politics, the caucuses. You wonder if some of those blowouts will play into the MVP voting. Will they vote their heart for the actual best player? Or will they say, you won by so much, maybe I'll vote for someone else? It's not unprecedented.
You know, I do think, though, that if I were an opposing coach, in the all-star balloting and looking at Lynn English, I could definitely see that other coaches would have, okay, Guzman killed us. I'm voting for Guzman. Adamite Badmus murdered us. I would vote for that guy, another coach. So I could see, you know, that split piece going, I guess, that piece. But, Nick, I wanted you to follow up on the Hamilton Wenham basketball team because you were there the other night, right?
Yeah.
So they are on fire right now.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I talked to Mike DiMarino, the coach, after the Newburyport win, which they almost blew, by the way, but they hung on. They were up close to 20 points in the second half, and they hung on and won by four. But I saw them play in the tournament over Christmas, and night and day to now, they just look like a completely different team. They're playing for each other. They're hitting outside shots. They're hitting inside shots. They're playing good D. They're forcing steals. They're getting block shots. It's just a really fun group to watch, and they're at, what, 9 in a row now? I think technically they still need one more win. They have 10 wins, but I think one of them doesn't count for the tournament. It's an exclusion game, so... They need one more win to get in the tournament after that 1-5 start. Pretty remarkable turnaround. And they just, after Newburyport, they went and beat Manchester Essex by 20 points, who's one of the top teams in the Cape Ann League as well. So they're rolling.
A scrimmage between the Generals and the Bulldogs?
I don't know about that. I don't know if they'd stack up to Lynn English, and I'm pretty sure DiMarino would agree with me. But they're playing some great basketball, and... they're a force to be reckoned with, especially going into the tournament in Division III. They could definitely make some noise. So we'll see how the rest of their season plays out, but 9 in a row for the Generals.
We can jump around a little bit, but, Phil, we got to get boys hockey in, and we got to get girls hockey in as well here with Willie here. But boys hockey.
Let me stay away from the conference. I got a few things I can throw out.
Absolutely, and big Fenwick win this week, huh?
There was. It's unfortunate they weren't able to follow it up with another one on Saturday night, but they did go over to Connery Rink and Lynn and take down St. Mary's for the first time in 18 years. 3-1, really well-played game for Fenwick. You can see that when they play well, they're tough to beat because they pack it in defensively, they get timely scoring. I like the goaltender, Jack Vieira. He's big. He covers up his rebounds. He's mobile. I think they got 6 strong defensemen. I think they got a real game breaker in Eden Worthley with some great talent around him. Nick Muzzy, Diego Segui, Tom Estella, Jake Murphy, so on and so on. They just weren't able to carry that over into Saturday night where they lost at Austin Prep 2-0, which has been kind of an Achilles heel for them, is following up, getting consistent scoring. So Fenwick is still in the Catholic Central League title chase, and they have a real marquee win on their schedule, but they're 500 and with 5 games left. I mean, they and Danvers are both in the same boat. They're both 7-7-1, need 5 points in 5 games. St. John's Prep is another team I want to talk about. Didn't see them this past week, but really tough 2-1 loss to St. John's of Shrewsbury on Saturday. Outshoot them 30-13. Hit a couple of posts. This team is so snake-bitten when it comes to scoring. I think they scored 6 against Austin Prep, and every other game has been 1 goal, 2 goals, occasional 3. They got a lot of talent. I can't figure out why. I don't think the coaches can either, why they can't score. Maybe getting Nick Townsend back will help that out. Sophomore center, real key piece down the stretch last year on their run to the Division I North Final, is back from his injury. Hopefully he can spark them. They're 7-4-4, so they don't really have to worry about making the tournament. They want to make the Super 8. They were one of the watch teams that were on the list that were that was released on Sunday, 1-12. Unless they completely bottom out, I can't see them not making it. I mean, they're clearly one of the 8 best teams in the state. But if they don't find a way to start scoring with any consistency, it's not going to be as long as a run as it could be. Finally, I want to mention the Chieftains of Masconomet. They're rolling, 12-2-1. They just won their second straight Cape Ann League title. And, you know, the head coach, Andrew Jackson, and I, like a lot of the coaches, we talk a few times a week, and he said to me, you know, geez, when was the last time Masco won back-to-back Cape Ann League titles? And I'm thinking, oh, maybe when the LaColse brothers were playing, you know, late 90s or so. So I looked it up, and turns out they had never done it, never won back-to-back championships, which – you know, a lot of great teams over the years in the Cape Ann League between, of course, Newburyport and Linfield and Triton and da-da-da-da-da. You go all down the list. Wilmington for a few years when they were in it. But you have to go back to when they were playing in the old Merrimack Valley League in the mid-60s when they won back-to-back crowns. So great accomplishment for them. Any reason to get that hammer there, bud? Okay. Don't mind that. Masconomet is ranked, you know, I don't put a whole lot of stock in polls myself, but they're ranked number 2 behind unbeaten defending state champ Canton in all of Division 2 in the latest Hockey Night in Boston poll, so I think there's some validity to that. They're really playing well, and after a unexpectedly early postseason exit last year when they were upset by Triton in the North quarterfinals after beating them twice during the year, I think it's a focused intent group that could go very far. So congratulations to them on winning another Cape Ann League title, and that's hopefully the first of many team goals that they can achieve.
All right, we're going to zip over to Willie here for girls hockey. But
hammer time.
Yeah, it's hammer time. But speaking of that, maybe we touched before you walked into the room last week, we talked about your award that you won from the Salem News organization,
yes.
North of Boston Media Group. Yes. Thank you, Phil. Hey, a little observation on that, and then without a breath, go into girls hockey for us.
Well, we're on the Cincinnati, right? I think we don't always like to toot our own horns around these parts, but certainly we have good company here with our teammates and good people that set us up, take the photos, edit the stories, you know, put them on the plate. And all that good stuff. And I think that, you know, the listeners that we get on this podcast, people that read the paper, I mean, you know, I think it's just a testament to the power of the local sports. That's what people want to read. And I think that that's really important. And I think, you know, hey, we had some fun talking about the Super Bowl earlier. And you know, we all get our jollies with the Celtics and the Bruins and all this. But, you know, at the end of the day, the local stuff is the bread and butter. It's really important. And I hope that that kind of shines through. And in what we do here, you know, girls hockey sort of at a standstill right now. Most of everything has kind of been established. We're kind of waiting for the tournament. You know, not a lot of unpredictable results of late. Really unfortunate break for the Beverly girls with the old kick saves curse. They haven't won a game since we featured them a few weeks back. And, you know, really unfortunate that goaltender Maddie Delano suffered a concussion in the first game after that column. And, you know, she's missed the last 2 periods of that game and you know, the last 2 consecutive games since. They were hoping she'd be cleared to play Saturday against Masco. She wasn't able to go. They lost 5-3. You know, 3 goals is about as many as Masco has given up in the league in quite some time. They're usually pretty stingy defensively. So, I mean, you know, you lose 4-3 to Winthrop, 5-3 to Beverly. You really hope that that you'd like to be able to take some points out of those games to make the tournament, and you know, no disparagement on the backup goaltender who did a great job, made a bunch of saves. I think, you know, 40, 45 combined saves between the two games. But, you know, if you're Beverly, you almost have to wonder if we had our all-star caliber goalie in here. I mean, we score 6 goals in 2 games. We're winning one of those 2 games, or at least coming away with a tie. So just a really, really tough break for the Panthers. You hate to see that because it's probably going to mean doom for their state tournament chance. I think they have to win their last 4 games now, which is against Marblehead, Medford, Peabody, and Acton Boxborough. So they're going to have to upset the Tanners and not trip up anywhere else if they're going to make the tournament. And, you know, just kind of a tough break for them as far as the injury bug is concerned.
All right, man, I'm looking at the clock. I think our time is up here, but great job. Matt Williams, Nick Giannino.
Quick last thing. News today broke that one Pat Connaughton will be competing in the NBA dunk contest at All-Star Weekend this year. So only 4 players in the NBA get to compete in that, and I know Pat's been, you know, waiting for the invite for a couple of years now, and, you know, that'll be a lot of fun. Good honor for Pat.
Stop. Hammer time.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think he got in because Nick tweeted, "Let Pat dunk," with the hashtag. Nick got it going, and I think that's what got the attention of Commissioner Silver.
I don't know. I must have been hacked. I don't remember tweeting that, but I should have.
Is Mike Greenier furiously looking for cheap ways to get out to Chicago at this point?
I'm sure he is. Yeah, he's very excited. He texted me today, so, you know, he loves Pat. He's big.
We got a good price on stagecoaches going out there or something.
We can send Nick, you know, the CNHI Boston Bureau travels sometimes.
Yeah, Nick.
There's no Super Bowl this year for us, so, you know.
Pat.
Yeah, that NBA All-Star dunking would probably be about equal to a Super Bowl. So, send a staff member.
Just as many hits.
So Pat Connaughton, Nick Giannino, the dunk bros right there. You can dunk, right, Nick?
I could, you know, at some point in my life.
Well, at the dunk contest, they are allowed to use props. So, I mean, you could just get, like, one of those, you know, ladders or something.
True.
So
yeah, that's true. Might get some points for that.
Yeah. There they are. We'll try again to end here. Matt Williams, Nick Giannino, Phil Stacey, and I'm Bill Newell. The sports writers from the Salem News. Team coverage, topics, and sports names in the news on MSONewsSports.com and SalemNews.com.